Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. I want to take you back to when you were a kid. When I was a kid, I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and we had what we called at that time hookups. Now, I know that word has a very different meaning today. And in fact, I once told someone I was in a hookup on my way to school in Nashville, and people got really the wrong idea. Apparently, in the rest of the nation, they're called carpools. We never called it a carpool. We called it a hookup. And all the moms who lived close to each other would get together and design, okay, you know, you drive on Monday, and you drive on Tuesday, you drive on Wednesday, so that, you know, all the moms didn't have to all drive. They would, you know, pick us all up together. Well, I remember one lady in my hookup, and I hated Wednesdays because every Wednesday this woman smoked. I hate tobacco smoke. I've always hated tobacco smoke. It gives me a sore throat. It makes my eyes red. It makes them water. It leads me to cough, and it kind of, when I'm in an enclosed space with it for any period of time, makes me feel sick all day long. Also gets in my clothes, gets in my hair, and unless I wash my hair, I can't get it out of my hair. Every Wednesday, going to school, I'd sit in the corner. I couldn't open the windows. I would try to breathe in my shirt. Nothing could be done. This woman filled the car with smoke. I wish, when I was 10 years old, there'd been a law, like the new law, that's just been passed in England and Wales, that fines people £50, it's about $100, if they smoke in a vehicle carrying a child, carrying someone under 18. And if they fail to stop a passenger smoking and are smoking themselves, they can be fined twice. This law goes in effect October 1st, and I say, way to go, Britain. They are on the cutting edge. The chief medical officer of the Department of Health in England and Wales, Dame Sally Davies, said, quote, children breathe faster than adults, so they're much more exposed to the dangers of secondhand smoke. Their airways, lungs, and immune systems are still developing, and so are much more at risk from harm, and 80% of smoke is invisible. So even if you think you're being careful, smokers, you can't see where the smoke is going. It affects parents who are not protecting their own children. Now, why should the focus be on children? Well, I'll tell you something. As an adult, if someone's smoking in the car, I ask them not to. And if they say, can I just roll down the window? I say, no, not in my car. You can't smoke in my car, period. You want me to drive you somewhere? You're not going to smoke in my car. Frankly, I allow it, but I don't even like when smokers go out, smoke on a smoking break, come back into my car, and they stink, and their clothes stink, and their hair stinks. And I know you're going to think I'm anti-smoker here, and you may be right. I'm kind of actively prejudiced against people who are smoking. For one thing, they're killing themselves. For the other thing, they're ruining my environment and harming my health. For the other thing, they're, financing an industry that I don't like very much. I will say this, though. I recognize that nicotine is the most addictive drug known to man, and I recognize that the people who smoke, most of them, have no choice, or at least little choice, that it's very, very hard to quit smoking. And listen, my mother used to be a smoker. And interest of full disclosure, when I was 5 years old, I took an entire carton of Kent cigarettes and ripped up every cigarette and threw it down the toilet, stopping up the toilet. So my campaign against tobacco has been going on for quite a long time. However, I wouldn't ban it. Wouldn't ban cigarettes. I wouldn't stop people from smoking. I recognize that throwing people in jail for violating drug laws actually causes them more damage and our society more damage and the gun wars between gangs more damage than actually the smoking itself. But I fully support it. One of the first, when I lived in California, probably the only proposition that I, the first proposition that I actively worked on and gave money to and worked in the campaign on was the proposition to ban smoking in public places. And it was really close. I mean, we won by a whisker, like 50.3% or something like that. It was a very, very close statewide race and one that I actively worked in. Because if you want to go and harm your own health, I don't like it, but it's your body. Do what you want with your own body. I feel the same way about those that would complain about a woman's right to choose. If you don't like abortion, don't have an abortion. If you don't like smoking, don't smoke. But don't try to control what other people do. But when you smoke around children, you are interfering with their environment. And children, unlike adults, don't feel free to tell someone to smoke outside. I'm a pretty outspoken person. I was a pretty outspoken 10-year-old. I knew I had no choice. I could not tell the mom in that hookup. Could not tell her to put out her cigarette, even though it made Wednesdays miserable for me. And you know what? I'm not even sure I ever told my old mom, who at that time was a smoker. My own mom and I had an arrangement. It actually worked out really well. She knew that she could never smoke around me. So by the time I was 8 or 9 or 10, if she walked in the room with a cigarette, I left the room. Didn't matter if I was watching TV. Didn't matter if I was in the middle of dinner. What it was, she would walk in the room with a cigarette. I walked out of the room. Kind of my own sort of protest. And by the way, after a while of that, she got the word. And she'd walk in with a cigarette. I'd start to walk out. She'd say, oh, I'm sorry. And she would leave the room. She understood that I needed to have clean air. Eventually, I'm proud to say, my mom would hide in bathrooms for a while smoking and then eventually quit. Partly, I think, due to my own sort of civil disobedience tactics against my own mom. And thank God she's living well and she's a fantastic mother. And that one imperfection of hers is long gone. But these laws are good things, in my mind. There are conservatives that say, I have the right to treat my children however I want. My children are my property. Don't you tell me what to do with my children. If I want to hit my children, I want to spank my children, I want to smoke in front of my children, I want to force my children to take in these noxious fumes that harm their health because it's for my pleasure, I should have a right to do it. Well, they don't quite say it like that, do they? And yet, I'd be curious to know what would happen if such a law were proposed in the United States. So curious, and I'm so persuaded by this English article that, I'm thinking about it now as I'm going to be serving as a Virginia delegate starting in January. I don't know the argument against it. What is the argument that says you should be able to forcibly harm your own children's health? If we're opposed to secondhand smoke in public places, which I am, and which, by the way, Virginia, even though it's a tobacco state, thank God, finally got around to banning smoking in restaurants and bars. Why can't we ban smoking in cars with kids under 18? Now, don't tell me, yeah. I mean, they're not going to stop most people. That's true. That's true. We have seatbelt laws as well. But I would wear a seatbelt anyway. But it doesn't hurt that, you know, I know it's against the law, and I will, if I don't have my seatbelt on, I see a police officer, I'm going to, just leaving my driveway, I'm going to rush to get that seatbelt on. Maybe a number of smokers will think twice. I actually think a lot of them will. And not just because they fear getting caught, but because maybe the law will actually wake them up into recognizing how much harm they're doing to their own kids. Maybe they'll smoke a little bit less themselves. And is that such a terrible thing? That would save us a lot of lives. It would save us a lot in healthcare. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to ban cigarettes. Heck, I would legalize and tax marijuana. Okay? But I don't like it either. And I don't want it smoked around me. I don't want marijuana smoked around me. I don't want tobacco smoked around me. I should have a right to have clean air. Children should have a right to have clean air. And that doesn't mean I'm going to ban the substance. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop you from doing what you do to your own body. but you shouldn't be able to harm other people, particularly children. So I support this English law, and I'd like to see it come up in the United States. But I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think. I want to know if you agree or disagree with me. And frankly, if you disagree, I want to hear from you more, because I don't understand the counterargument. This has not been done yet in the United States, but England's leading the way, and I want to follow their lead. So let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. England and Wales are starting October 1st to ban people from smoking in cars with children. And I say, way to go, England and Wales. Boy, I would have loved a law like that when I was 10 years old and stuck on Wednesdays with that one woman in our hookup in Nashville, Tennessee, who would not put her cigarette out. Whew. God, it still makes me mad all these many years later. Not that I ever asked her to put it out. I didn't think I had a right. It was her car. Thank you, England and Wales. We need these kinds of laws in the United States. Norman in Cleveland, Ohio, line two, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I am for that law. I'll tell you, they have banned smoking in restaurants and bars in Cleveland. In Pennsylvania, where I recently played at, if they are not serving food, you are allowed to smoke. And I just won't do it anymore. I was part of the campaign to ban it from here. When people are...
Now, when you say played, you're a musician.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, you play what, guitar or...
I play saxophone.
Saxophone. Oh, you really need your breath, yeah. Then. You don't want to be breathing in smoke and then blowing out the saxophone.
That's right. But even if I played guitar, it's just not good. And when they are exercising, quote, their right to smoke in a bar, they are also making me smoke, and I won't, and I don't have to do it anymore. There
right.
was one bar that allowed smoking because it was a cop and a biker hangout, and they just had it as part of their business plan to pay the fine. They finally were threatened with loss of their license.
Well, good.
And so I asked the guy who replaced me if I could have my gig back, and he said no. It's a good band, but I'm playing, and I just love non-smoking.
Well,
it's not so horrible outside, but I think. Yeah, smoking in a car with kids is child abuse.
You know, when California started this movement about stop, and I was actually part of it, I'm very proud to say, in the 1990s, I actively worked in the campaign for the very first state in the country to, and we did it by proposition, the politicians weren't doing it, to ban smoking. And then after California did it, New York City did it, and then state after state did it. For a while, Maryland and D.C.
Right.
were doing it, and Virginia wasn't, my home state, and then even my home tobacco state. And now I didn't realize about Pennsylvania. I think most states across the country do ban smoking in public places. Am I right?
Yeah, you are. The law in Pennsylvania, and I did a New Year's Eve party at a lodge, but I also went to hear a band that was playing at a bar that didn't serve food, and they were smoking loud. I stayed there for about 10 minutes. I said, y'all sound very good. I'm not going to be in a place where they're smoking.
Yeah, no, I remember. I'll tell you, it's funny how much some of this has changed. I'm a card player. I like to play bridge. I like to play poker. People used to smoke all the time, and I would come home with vicious headaches. Now, all of those, it doesn't happen there. I'm old enough to remember, frankly, smoking on airplanes, which is extremely disgusting as a kid. and there's no way out. I mean, there's like no fresh air, and I'm basically turning green. For me, it's almost shocking that it was allowed for that long. And now that I know about this British law, I'm asking myself, why isn't this the law throughout the United States. And in fact, I'm going to take it upon myself. And I just decided this moment to when I become a delegate in Virginia in January to propose this kind of law on behalf of children everywhere who shouldn't have to. Now, you know, the tobacco lobby is quite strong in Virginia. I assume they'll kill this law. But I'd like to hear, particularly if you're a parent and you want to smoke, I'd like to understand you, because my mom, and she was a smoker, understood at least that she wasn't going to do it around me. And I love her for it. And I just think it's really selfish, extremely selfish, of parents to want to smoke in these places with kids. Do I still got you, Norman? Or did you have to leave? Oh, his line's gone. Okay, Norman had to go somewhere, so that's fine. Let's see if we have time for. I think we do. Britt in Eureka, California, on line one. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Mark. How are you? It's great to be on your show.
Thanks for calling in. So you also support this law.
I do, totally. But let me be clear, though. I do think it's kind of a slippery slope a little bit. You know, I mean, being a dad of two kids, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I totally support it. First of all, I'd like to point out, I heard the bit with you talking about your mom smoking, and my mom was exactly the same deal. And as a matter of fact, in high school, it took me finally getting on the honor roll in my only semester that I did it. I was able to finally get her able to quit.
Was that your deal?
You made
a pact with her. I'll get on the honor roll. You'll quit smoking?
That's what I did. And I made the honor roll only that one semester, sadly enough. But she did manage to quit. Unfortunately, like you pointed out, it's a very difficult thing. I think in the next 10 years, about 10 years later, she did manage to pick it up again. And I think to this day, does occasionally smoke it a little bit. But my mom is 75 and still alive. And I'd like to say that the honor roll, being on the honor roll, has something to do with that.
Well, that's great. I hope you can actually get her to quit even that, because the way it works is it permanently damages your lungs. But your lungs do heal somewhat when you quit. So they can.
Oh yeah, your lungs.
They can show you that, like 10 years later, the lungs of a smoker, 10 years after not smoking, they're still not quite as good as a non-smoker, but they're more than 50% healed. And so there's still time. But let me ask you. You said there's some danger of going too far.
The slippery slope on this one, I think, is that, I do totally support it. I think it's wrong. I'm old enough to remember, like you, when we were people were smoking on airplanes. You know, I'm 51, so I remember, you know, driving around in a car without seatbelts in the back seat for us as little kids, and my mom getting into an accident and bouncing around. So there's been wonderful regulations that have improved safety. I definitely think this is a law that could potentially be passed, but I think it would be a difficult pass because ultimately, you're arguing for what you're putting into your kids. And, Mark, the only reason I say it'll be difficult is think about something like fast food. I think we can all agree, and my kids rarely ever, I'm not saying it's never happened, New Year's Eve, something like that, every now and then they get the taste of a Coca-Cola. But, you know, Coca-Cola is not good for kids. It's not good for adults. It's probably not good for crocodiles.
But you know what? There's a difference here, Britt. And stay on with me if you want. I got to go to a break. But there's a difference, I think. At least the kid wants the Coke. You know, wants the burger, unhealthful though it is. In this case, the parent is getting their own pleasure from the cigarette and forcing something on the kids that no kid in their right mind would want. 888-488-MARK, what do you think? 888-488-6275. Back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. England and Wales, starting October 1st, will ban smoking in the car with children. They will give you a fine of about £50, about $100, if you are caught smoking in the car with children. I, for one, salute this law. Now, if you agree or disagree, I want to hear from you. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I think it's a good thing. And I very much remember being a kid myself and having to suffer through adults smoking and that kind of thing. Just thinking about it gives me a headache, much less the actual smoke. I am glad to live in a largely smoke-free world. I wouldn't ban cigarettes, but I know they're terrible for you. And I would use extreme social pressure and ostracism to help keep people from smoking. kind of ironic for a guy like me that wants to legalize marijuana, but treat it basically the same way as we do cigarettes. A Brit from Eureka, California on line one, he agrees with me, but he fears that maybe this could be the start of a slippery slope. Brit, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate all your comments. Listen, one thing we were talking about before was the fast food issue, and you made a good point about how kids, of course, want fast food and sugary sodas and all that, and that allowing them to have that is different than forcing something like having to breathe polluted air or something like that, or maybe swim in a pool.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily defending fast food at all, but I do think that a parent who is enjoying their own pleasure, you know, at the expense of their child is a little bit different. It's kind of like, to me, I don't know, forcing your child to pull the lawnmower. Let me think of something even better. Forcing your child to pull your chariot while you're sitting in the back lounging with your cocktail.
I mean, right.
In this case, you're enjoying yourself at the expense of your child. It's even worse in my mind.
I agree. Here's one, too, I was thinking of while we were on break, is that you said, sorry about not enjoying it. Well, here's something I wouldn't necessarily enjoy, but can you ban it? And I know there's another law coming up, I believe, in Virginia that's addressing this. Maybe you can do it. How about swearing around your kids? I mean,
that's different.
Legislate a law?
No.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm against that law.
I mean, isn't there a law?
No. You know why? Do you support that law? Banning swearing around your children? No, I don't either. Let's talk about the differences, because I think there's important differences. Number one, the Surgeon General has not proven that swearing or hearing swear words is dangerous to your health. There is absolutely no medical. There's no medical study that shows that swearing or hearing swear words in any way endangers your health. That's number one. Number two, we have the First Amendment that protects free speech. So, look, I'm not saying that coarsening our language is a good thing or a bad thing. I think even the laws that prohibit me from saying those words on the air, which exist right now, the FCC's laws, I'm not so sure those are a good thing. But really, it's very, very different from smoking in your cars.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. But anyway, to get back to that original point, though, I am a big supporter of it. You and I equally would hate the idea of forcing kids to breathe polluted air as much. It was a horrible experience that I went through as a kid. Luckily, I was able to mitigate it luckily through the honor roll and good grades. But, I can tell you it's something really to fight for, and I think it's a worthy cause. I'm just not altogether sure that America is ready for that, you know?
Maybe not, but sometimes we got to push through things and then America enjoys them. You know, in California, they told us businesses will go. No one will go to restaurants in California anymore or go to bars if they ban smoking. And the restaurant industry was against it, and the bar industry, the bar owners were against it. And you know what? Plenty of people still go to bars and restaurants in California. Once we showed that it could work there, the rest of the nation adopted it. And I'm proud to say even Europe followed our lead. England and France now ban it in their public places. So they followed us. Now I'd like to follow England and ban it in our cars. Thanks for your call, Britt. I appreciate it. Let me go to Bill. Bill's from Buffalo, but he's listening in our new station. We just opened WNYY in Syracuse and Ithaca. We're live there, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Very, very proud to be on WNYY. And callers from Syracuse and Ithaca get special treatment this whole week. So, Bill, line two, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good. What are your thoughts on banning smoking for children? For parents and cars for children?
Fully supported. I remember being trapped in a car with parents, grandparents smoking, and it was disgusting.
It's funny. A lot of people have these same memories I do. I've never talked about. I've been on the radio now for 12 years. I've never talked about this before, and every caller is like, "Yeah, I remember that. That was disgusting."
But we didn't know the health risks associated with, you know, being a smoker, being exposed to secondhand smoke. And, you know, in terms of, you know, child custody cases, kind of if everything is equal between the mother and the father, sometimes it comes down to who's a smoker and who's not.
And you know what? I'm fine with that. I'm not people going to call in and hate me, but I'm fine with that. If they're equally good homes, put the kid in the home of the non-smoker. I think that's fantastic.
And you know, the average smoker loses 15 to 20 years of life.
Yeah, I'm all for using ostracism. Now, I wouldn't ban it because I think then it leads to people going to jail and the drug war, the same reason I wouldn't ban marijuana. But I'm all for using social pressure and ostracism. And frankly, that's what's worked. I mean, if you look at it, smoking has gone down. In the 50s, about half of all Americans smoked, and now it's, I think, about 20%. It's gone way down, and that's largely due to social ostracism.
Yeah, in New York State, it's about 90% of adults over 18 or over 21, stuff like that, are smokers. And, you know, I've been impressed with the changes in, you know, the last 10 or 15 years in terms of, you know, smoke-free restaurants, smoke-free bars, smoke-free parks, even outside. You know, you go to the playground with your kid and, you know, folks can't smoke there anymore. And it's sending a message. And children see parents smoking and they go, I want to be like mom and dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're really creating the next
Hollywood used to treat it as cool back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
you don't even see much smoking in movies anymore. It's just not cool.
No.
And it just shows the power of what you can do just through a mixture of social pressure and laws. Like I said, I worked on this campaign in the 90s, and it was considered impossible to ban smoking, and we barely got it. It was less than 1%.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very glad to see that this movement has taken hold, and I think we should go the next step further. Thanks for your call, Bill. I appreciate it. Let's go to Carol in Wisconsin on line 3, who also was stuck in a car making her nauseous. This is the theme here. All of you, if you were stuck in a car, and by the way, I don't mean to exclude the smokers. If you're against this law, or you think it's just fine to smoke in a car, let me hear the counter side. I want to hear from you. But let's go to Carol in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Yes, I was stuck in the back seat of the car, and I'd ask my parents, please don't smoke. Open your windows. They'd open the windows. That didn't help. I still felt sick, and if it was a particularly long car ride, they'd have to pull off to the side of the road, and I would actually get sick on the side of the road.
And how old were you?
Oh, this is all through my childhood.
All through your childhood.
I was a little kid.
Now, did your parents ever consider actually putting out the cigarettes?
Well, you know, my mother, you know, after I would get sick on the side of the road,
that's a pretty strong sign.
Smoking, but my father would say, well, the window's good enough, you know, but I would feel nauseous. I'd say, please don't smoke. You know, I don't feel well.
It's so, Carol, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have three brothers.
Did your three brothers complain as well?
Not as much as I did. It seemed to affect me more than they did.
I mean, some people are more sensitive. I think I'm particularly sensitive to cigarette smoke, and it sounds like you are too. Weirdly enough, and I'm not defending it for health reasons, but weirdly enough, a pipe doesn't bother me as much, and I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah, me too. It doesn't bother me as much, and I can't figure that out when cigarette smoke really bothers me. But I don't think you should smoke anything in the car.
I agree. But I just it's weird, and I do agree that some of us are more sensitive to it. But again, it's not our fault. We don't want to smoke. So you pled to your parents. Your mom finally had pity on you. Your dad just wouldn't do it. He just, I want my cigarette.
Yeah, he'd like, you know, she's on the passenger side, and I got my window open, and, you know. And I guess they were just so addicted to it. But, it would really make me sick.
Carol, are your parents still alive?
My dad is passed away, and my mother is still alive. My mother quit smoking, but my dad never did, and he died of a massive heart attack at 55, just dropped
at
over dead.
55. And I assume the doctors think that smoking may have had something to do with it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. He smoked like a chimney.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's... Thanks for your call, Carol. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. Let's go to Kelly in New Mexico on line 1. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
How are you doing?
What's your thoughts on this law?
Well, I think it's a good law, and I'll tell you why. When I was growing up, I'm probably a little bit older than you, my dad used to smoke, and we had the cars where you had the crank for the window, and in the front there was a tiny little triangle window for ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, we were captive in that car while he was smoking. He smoked cigars and pipes, and we only had that little window. And now my brother and I have bad allergies and have health issues.
Did you ask your dad not to smoke when you were a kid?
Well, of course not. He was our dad.
Of course not. He was your dad. Well, that's interesting. Well, because part of it's a different time period. But there are kids. I mean, I asked my mom not to smoke in front of me, and she didn't. But part of it is just the culture you grow up in. There are kids that feel they can ask their parents that, and there are kids that feel they can't. I didn't feel I could ask the woman who was driving me to school as part of, the carpool. I didn't think I could ask her to stop, and I didn't. But I did ask my mom to stop. You didn't feel like you could ask your dad.
Well, this was in the 60s and 70s, and it wasn't a big deal. I mean, people smoked everywhere. You smoked in the doctor's office.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're waiting for a checkup.
Just crazy. Yeah, I know you used to be able to smoke in hospitals, like, until the 60s, which, again, is mind-boggling.
Yeah, no. So I think it's going in the right direction. It gives kids a little more power, and it is a health issue.
It's absolutely a health issue. I'm curious to know, and folks, we're going to take a quick break, particularly if you are a smoker or you're someone who opposes this law or you're a conservative and think you have a right to smoke in front of children. I support this law, obviously, but if there is another side, I'd like to hear it. I want to know from people who disagree with the law, and you'll get first priority if you call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Kelly, stay if you want or not, but we got to take a break, and we'll be right back. Right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Ready. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. England and Wales have a new law. I don't often talk about laws in foreign countries, but I want to bring this one to the United States. Starting October 1st, 2015, it will be illegal in England or Wales for adults to smoke in a car with anyone younger than 18. Anyone who smokes in a car with someone younger than 18 in the car will be fined £50. It's about $100. I support this law. I suffered from being in a car. My mom, who smoked, never smoked in a car with me because she knew I hated it. In fact, I would leave the room whenever she smoked. But this woman who drove me to school, my parents had these, they would work out with other, it was mothers, it was moms in those days, would work out with other moms, and every day one would be assigned to drive us to school in what we called a hookup, where they picked up all the kids, and this one woman on Wednesdays, I could still see her, I could still smell the smoke, it still bothers me, and I hated Wednesdays, because I hated getting in her car full of smoke. I support this law, do you? Toll free, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Tamara in Joplin, Missouri, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Mark. I think it's a good idea, but I also find that the lawmakers are a bit hypocritical.
Okay.
Because when we ask for clean water and mercury out of vaccines and growth hormones out of dairy products and meat, they tell us to buzz off. So here they're telling us, we don't want you smoking around your kids, but don't ask us to keep the water clean from fracking or coal dust out of the air or, mercury. You know what I'm saying? If they're going to, I just find that they're more onto us in a social way and not an environmental way. All the way around.
Well, maybe tomorrow. I mean, this law hasn't passed the United States yet, so let's not assume that. Let's not celebrate the passage of a law that hasn't even been proposed in most of the United States. I'm just getting this idea from England.
But England just passed a law that they can do fracking anywhere.
Oh, so at least in England, they're being hypocritical. Okay, fair enough. At least for England. My problem is the United States. We're not protecting any of these things. Fracking.
England's getting ready to poison them. Their water source, and they're on an island.
Who is? England is?
They're an island.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
They're getting ready to poison their water with fracking chemicals that we all know. The fracking chemicals get into the groundwater.
Yes, they do.
Poison the water.
They do get in the groundwater. The thing I most concerned with fracking, frankly, is the earthquakes. When you force water at very, very high pressures deep underground, don't be surprised if your ground suddenly becomes unstable. The clearest example of that is the state of Oklahoma. Now, you may not think of earthquakes when you think of Oklahoma. You think of California. You think of Japan. You think of basically all the area of the world around the Pacific Rim where naturally earthquakes occur because the continents are separating and that's where the rift is, and so that's actually very natural earthquakes. Oklahoma is not part of a natural earthquake zone. It used to have earthquakes once or twice a year, and now they have them once or twice a day. Now, Oklahoma denies.
I feel them all the time. I'm here in southwest Missouri. I'm 100 miles from Tulsa.
Oh, okay. So that's why you feel them. Yes, so you're affected by it as well, because obviously it goes deep underground. It doesn't stop at the border. How's fracking in Missouri?
Well, it's not right around southwest Missouri, but it's in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Kansas.
Yeah, so you're kind of surrounded there. Well, keep voting for politicians that stop it. Thanks for calling, Tamara.
England should stop.
I hear you. Stop fracking and stop smoking in cars. Thanks for your call, Tamara. Let's go to Susan in Eureka, California. Oh, we just lost Susan. I was just about to get to you. I hung up with Tamara to get to you. That should be a lesson for everybody. If you call in, stay on the line. I will eventually get to you unless you call in like the very last minute. Usually I can't get to you. So, Susan, if you want to call back, we still got 2 minutes left that I was going to give to you. If not, let me say this. I think that it's amazing how movements begin. As someone who worked very hard in the marriage equality movement, at the time when I worked on it, it was considered impossible. We even had gay and lesbian legislators who told us it was impossible, who turned me away, said it was never going to happen in our lifetime, and indeed it has happened not just in liberal states, but all across the United States. In banning smoking, again, I was early in that movement. In California in the 1990s, the politicians weren't doing it again, so the people did it. We did a proposition. I love that aspect of direct democracy, and it was a very, very close race. It's one of the earliest political races I worked on. And once California showed that, yes, people still enjoy their restaurants and bars, even if they can't smoke, they may go outside to smoke, then New York City did it, and now, well, virtually every state has done it. So let's take it to the next step. I know that I'm in 43, 45 markets across the United States. Wherever you live, start calling your local state representative. Do you know who he or she is? You should. Call your state representative. Call your state senator. If you're in Virginia, call your state delegate. That's what I'm about to be in January. Ask them to pass a law that makes it illegal to smoke when their kid's in the car. Now, I'm not saying throw people in jail, okay? I'm just saying a fine, just like a seatbelt fine, $100. You should be fined $100 if you smoke around your kids. Just knowing it's against the law will actually persuade a lot of parents, like all those parents we heard about, all those moms and dads smoking in the car that some put out their cigarettes, some did not when their kids were in the car. Maybe if the law told them it was illegal, maybe some of those parents will put out the cigarettes. Maybe that dad who had a heart attack at age 55 who died from smoking, maybe if he'd put out the cigarettes a bit more because of this law and because of his daughter wanting him to put it out, I don't know, would he be alive today? Smoking is a disgusting, addictive habit. Nicotine's the most addictive drug known to man. I wouldn't ban it because I know that putting people in jail for nonviolent drug crimes does not help anything. It just leads to gang warfare. I wouldn't ban it. But I would ask people, if you do smoke, to remember the health consequences for yourself and for those around you. And at the very, very least, respect children. Children who feel like they can't say no. Children who stuck in the car. If you want to do something to your own body, you know what? I think that's your right. But don't go around and ruin the lungs of children around you who can't say no. Hope you enjoyed the show today. This is Mark Levine. You can follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. My website's marklevinetalk.com, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.